You ever just been driving through the city, town, whatever, just maybe on your own block, and someone just goes flying by you? I mean, just like a bat out of HE double hockey stick, and you're thinking, man, that guy's going to kill somebody. I used to think that, but now I simply think this. Oh, I hope they make it to the hospital in time. And guess what? There's a lot more behind that than what you might think, but that's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer. Hey, Garth Heckman, the David Alliance, thanks for tuning in. You can reach me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. And we're brought to you by wellbuiltbody.com, gym apparel for men and women that rock and shock. It ain't for everybody, but it just might be for you. Wellbuiltbody.com. Man, what a great day yesterday in Minnesota. It was mid-30s, but it was sunny, beautiful out. Almost took my bow outside and did some archery practice. I'll probably do it this weekend if it's still nice. Got to get ready for spring season. Hey, what are you doing? What do you like to get into? Let me know. TDA, giantslayer@gmail.com. So with that, we've been on this little roll here the last couple days on not worrying and on changing our mindset to go directly to God first until before worry or anxiety or problems or our imagination takes over. And you know what? It's interesting to me because I do a lot of research and study on how to shoot a gun, how to shoot a bow, how to practice, how to respond rather than react. I do a lot of research on the brain, and it's still just an art. It's just honestly something you have to constantly work on to get your mind locked in how to think. So when my first boy was born, it was traumatic. We went to the hospital, and my wife, she had preeclampsia, toxemia, something like that. And she couldn't dilate far enough, and her blood pressure is raging, like to a point where they can't even measure it anymore. My son in her womb is, his pulse is dropping. I mean, like, everyone's freaking out. There's like three doctors in the room, so they basically just rip him out of her uterus. And I mean, without exaggeration, they just ram some forceps in there. They don't give her any pain medication. It's emergency. They're like, she's going to die. He's going to die. They rip him out. They actually pop a hole in the back of his head, which is still there. He's got like this round dime-sized spot on the back of his head that's just a shiny, bright scar, no hair, to save his life and to save her life. Now, fast forward 2.5 years later, and you're going, Garth, where's this going? Hang in there. She's pregnant again. And we go to the doctor. It's her 9th month. And at the doctor's appointment, the doctor's really concerned because he knows her history. And he looks at her and he says, you need to go to the hospital right now, immediately, and get induced because the same thing could happen again. You might not be so lucky. So we jump in the car and I'm panicking because I remember just a few years earlier how I almost lost my wife and my son. So I hit the Beltline in Madison going 100 miles an hour. I am flying. There's a point to this. Hold on. And on the way to the hospital, I pass one of the secretaries from the church I work at, and she sees me just flying, and she knows my wife is pregnant, and she's thinking, well, that isn't very safe. Why would he drive like that? And his wife's pregnant. And then, you know, the next day she found out what was going on because I had to rush my wife to the hospital to get her induced to have this baby so that, you know, we didn't have the same scenario. But it kind of resonates with me because once she found out, it was totally acceptable and it changed her perspective. So I now do the same thing. When I see someone driving crazy, you can get mad. You can be like, what an idiot. What is he doing? And I do just the opposite now. I literally say, boy, I sure hope he makes it to the hospital in time. I don't know why he's speeding. Maybe he's going to the hospital. Maybe he just found out his mom's in the hospital. Maybe he's just a 20-year-old punk kid driving like a maniac. I don't know. But I'm learning to respond rather than react. I don't know if you've heard about the 99% rule. Psychologists talk about it all the time. About 99% of the time, when you are upset, you tend to distort thoughts and you assume the worst thing possible, and you assume the worst reasons for someone's behavior. 99% of the time, sounds like me. But when you calm down, you typically realize people were acting with, just normal behavior. They weren't trying to harm you or hurt you, or they weren't driving like an idiot for any other reason or acting a certain way. In fact, they say 0 to 2% of the time, if you calm down, you realize, oh, something else must be going on. You're more likely to guess right if you choose goodwill or best intent about what the real scenario is and not what you're first amped up to think or believe. So they say you have to train yourself or teach yourself how to respond. They say the brain's innate negativity bias is, you know, it scans and looks for bad news, bad intentions. That's just the way that we're built, I guess. And that to see and to understand and to believe the good of something, we have to train ourselves to do that. I love, you know, the Bible verse, and it sounds so cliche. I know it does. In Philippians chapter 4, but it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, minds, through Jesus Christ. Finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Again, going back to like what we were saying the last 2 days, you have to train yourself to think and see the best in every situation. Rather than allowing your mind to take up and think the worst, you stop and you say, what is the good? What is the praiseworthy? What is the righteous? What is the pure? What is the holy that might be going on here? And it's really just this simple, because it's maybe easier to do that in circumstances in other people's lives, but in our own, it really takes a lot of time and practice. When something bad happens, we sometimes blame God rather than say, hey, I wonder what good, amazing, cool, wild, unbelievable testimony I'm gonna have through this. Can't wait to see what God does. Go to Him first, think the best, think what's righteous, think what's holy, think about what's gonna make God look good, and believe it and trust Him. Hey, Garth Heckman, David Alliance, keep slaying giants.